Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer for CBS Sports on X at David W. Cobb, and he joins me now. Happy Friday, David.
Happy Friday, Gabe. We made it. We made it through another week. How you doing? How you feeling? I know tomorrow it's a big day tomorrow. Like how are you feeling?
Not awesome. Not awesome. I also, in the back of my mind, realize that you're catching Arkansas in a good spot if you're Memphis, with Notre Dame on the way and an emotional, potential emotional letdown after that Ole Miss game. But I also realize that this is kind of a free shot to a certain extent. Memphis can lose this game and still have everything it sets out to accomplish in front of them. But, yeah, the Talen Green thing still has me in shambles right now. I have a lot of... a lot of hesitation in thinking that Jordan Hankins and that defense are going to draw up a game plan well enough to limit him. He's taken another step this year, and he looks great.
Well, that's the thing. You can't stop Talen Green. I don't think that there's anyone really out there who can outside of the elite cream of the crop defenses in the SEC. And Memphis and a lot of other teams that Arkansas is going to play this year can't do it. And so what you got to do, I think it's about the red zone. I think it's about fourth downs.
Yep.
I thought something was interesting that stuck out to me when I was rewatching Arkansas at Ole Miss. First half, Sam Pittman's got a 4th-and-2 on like the 34-yard line. Well, he opts for a 51-yard field goal. That's a bad decision. The kicker misses the kick. Probably a bad decision even if the kicker makes the kick. It's a 4th-and-2. You have Talen Green. So you need Sam Pittman to make bad decisions, which I wouldn't rule out, right? So, like, that's where the game is won or lost for Memphis in terms of defending Talen Green. It's not, can you hold him under 300 yards? No, he's probably going to pass for 300 and maybe run for 100. But can you make him kick field goals? Can you make him make bad decisions on fourth downs? And, you know, when you get down into the red zone, can you bend without breaking?
Yeah, and I think this is going to be necessary. You're going to have to force Talen Green into some type of mistake at some point. Interception, a fumble, something like that. But here's the thing. It feels like he's taking a step in that regard. Like, if this was Talen Green of last year and the year before, I'd feel a little bit differently about this matchup. But it just feels like through these first three games, I've seen a different, more in tune, able to throw from the pocket, able to beat you with his arm more, Talen Green. Like, that's the problem I have with that conversation. It feels like he's taking care of the ball better than he has in his entire career.
Yeah. He's up to, I think I have him at 6 this week in the quarterback power rankings. And, you know, honestly, if he were playing for a better team or if they had found a way to beat Ole Miss, like, you could argue he could be even higher. He's leading the country right now in total yards, because he's been that good as a passer and as a runner. So, I mean, yeah, like that's a well-founded concern. But then I think the other element of it is it puts pressure on the Memphis offense to go out there and hang and keep up. And I'm not ready to decisively say one way or the other that Memphis can or can't do that. I mean, I think the Arkansas defense is flawed at best. I mean, they were gashed by Ole Miss. It's a, you know, as is it usually the case with Arkansas, it's a totally new cast of characters on that side of the ball. So, man, I think Memphis has a shot. Like, I like Memphis plus 7.5. And, you know, you talk about a game that's decided by a touchdown or less potentially. I mean, I give Memphis a shot in that game, man. I really do. I think home field advantage is – is worth a little bit there too, because I mean, I don't know if you're going to go or what you anticipate from the home field advantage, but you know, I would imagine Liberty Bowl will be strong form tomorrow for an SEC opponent.
You know, and it's kind of funny. We just got all, you know, we just had callers call in. A lot of Memphis fans feeling positively. And I think more than just the game itself and how they feel about the game, I think it's just nice for Memphis fans to finally have that premier power conference home game that they haven't had since Mississippi State. It feels like it's been forever. It's been a while since you've been able to see that type of environment at that stadium.
Yeah, and those opportunities, as we know, will be harder and harder to come by as the SEC moves to 9 conference games. And these schools, you know, if they're going to do the mandate where, hey, in addition to 9 league games, you still have to play a non-conference opponent that is from the P4, you know, then you're going to see the Memphises of the world struggle to get SEC teams onto their schedule at all, let alone in their building. So you got to appreciate that opportunity. But it's been a house of horrors when Memphis has hosted SEC schools in the last 10 years. I mean, they've typically fared pretty well. So, you know, I think Memphis has a chance, man. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think if there's a chance that there's some fireworks here. I mean, not too dissimilar from Ole Miss and Arkansas last week when a freaking Division II quarterback went out there and put up 40 on these guys. So, you know, I mean, Brendan Lewis has seen a thing or two. He's played some Division I teams over the years, right? Like, he's not going to be the least intimidated
by
I don't think his
skill set's that dissimilar from Trinidad Chambliss, right? Like, he's kind of got that. Now, they haven't really aired it out the same way that Lane did with him last week.
Well, I think the difference is Ole Miss has a lot of really high-quality weapons. I mean, shoot, the tight end, Daquan Wright. I mean, gosh, he's special. And then, you know, the receivers, obviously, at Ole Miss are, I would say, top half of the SEC for sure. So, yeah, I mean, that's the difference. Can you get some playmaker step up for Memphis? You know, that's a question we could have answered tomorrow. I mean, you know, I know they've been spreading it around. And, you know, is it a situation where they have a lot of good options and no great option? I don't know. Like, or do they just have a bunch of guys and nobody who can really step up and make the plays? I don't know. Like, that's something we have to figure out tomorrow.
All right. Now, forgive me. I have an American Conference question coming up. American Conference is a lot better than we thought, no? I mean, just looking at it, outside of the usual suspects, you have South Florida really making things happen. But obviously the usual suspects, Navy, Memphis, Tulane. But you have South Florida doing what they've done so far. You have East Carolina, solid team. You have Rice, who's at 3-1 so far this year. You have a North Texas team that was able at home, and I know Washington State's not very good, but they beat Washington State 59-10 at home last week, and they're 3-0. Like, I look at all this, and UTSA still hasn't really peaked or looked that great so far this year, and you expect them to be there. Also, Temple, I saw that Evan Simon, their quarterback, broke into your top 50 rankings this week. So, like, when we look at the American, it's not, based on what I'm seeing, near as bad as we thought this offseason going into the preseason. It feels like there's been an expectation that has been surpassed in the early going, no?
No, I'd agree with that. That's, I mean, the one disappointment, if you want to call them that, would be FAU. I mean, you could say that about UTSA as well. Like, you know, they haven't looked great, but like, okay, they lost to Texas A&M. I mean, who's really shocked by that? And then they lost to Texas State, and that was a really close game against one of the Sun Belt's better teams. So, yeah, I mean, I think the league looks really good. I think there's 4 or 5 teams that have a shot at it. You mentioned North Texas. I mean, they're a team to watch because Eric Morris is the discoverer, the founder of Cam Ward. He's a quarterback whisperer. He's got a quarterback there now, Drew Mestemaker, who my colleague Shahan J. Raja wrote about today. And so they're kind of the surprise, I would say, right now. They look like they could be a threat as well. But yeah, I mean, it almost feels like a given right now that the American champion is going to be your G5 rep. Now, you know, you never know. Like, Boise could end up having something to say about that. UNLV is off to a strong start. But, like, I look at UNLV this weekend, man, I don't think Vegas really likes them that much. They're going on the road to an 0-2 Miami of Ohio team. and they're only favored by less than a field goal. I mean, that UNLV team is going to take some losses this year. Then it's just a matter of, okay, is Boise State as bad as they showed us against South Florida, or is this a typical situation with Boise State to where maybe they played poorly out of the gate, but then you look up in late October, early November, and it's like, oh, wow, Boise State's 7-1. You know, I don't think we can totally dismiss that from the equation, but, you know, they play Notre Dame as well. So that's in all likelihood, a second loss for them. And if they get picked off by anyone else in the Mountain West, then they're kind of out of the running, you know, relative to whoever that American champion is going to be.
Yeah. All right. Now we have a top 25 matchup that I don't know if any people are really hyping up all that much. I think it'll be the big noon kickoff game, but Texas Tech and Utah, number 17 visiting number 16. And both those teams are much improved. They're both undefeated. Utah, 3.5-point favorites. Their quarterback, Devin Dampier, has been phenomenal. But on the other side, I don't think people have talked about it very much. Baron Morton, the starting quarterback for Texas Tech, has been an absolute stud so far this year. Through three games, 923 yards, 11 touchdowns, and one interception. When we look at the Big 12 as a whole, how important do you think this game is to what the standings will look like at the end of the year, who will represent the Big 12 in the college football playoff?
Yeah, I think it's the winner of this game is on a track to appear in the Big 12 title game. And, you know, you look around the league and it's been a bit of a disappointing start when you think about like Arizona State losing at Mississippi State. You think about Baylor dropping a week one showcase opportunity at home against Auburn. Kansas couldn't get it done against Missouri. So, I mean, that conference has kind of flopped so far in some of its marquee opportunities. And, you know, Kansas State, a lot of people thought was going to win the league. They're sitting here at 1-3 now already because they played in week zero. But you still have Texas Tech, Utah, Iowa State, you know, right there in kind of prime position to win that league. And, you know, it's a huge game, and it's a prove it opportunity for both teams. Not just in the Big 12, but nationally, because, you know, Texas Tech's been the story of the offseason, maybe somewhat off the radar from like your typical 10 to 12 name brands. But for everything they've done financially to go out and invest in their roster, you know, the expectations are huge in Lubbock. I mean, they don't just want to win 8 or 9 games. Like, they want to win the Big 12 and go to the college football playoff. But then on the flip side of that, man, you have a Utah team that just looks totally revitalized because they went out and did the QB OC overhaul, where you go and get not just a new quarterback, but you get the offensive coordinator who coached him and turned him into a star. And that's what they've done, because Devin Dampier at quarterback, he's just a dual threat menace. He's taking care of the football. I kind of like Utah in that game. Here's the other element of it too. You got Texas Tech going into the Mountain Time Zone to play at altitude in an early kick. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a recipe for success. So it's going to be a great game. I like that tomorrow kind of showcases, like, it's not a great slate, but it offers some programs and some teams a spotlight that they might not normally have.
Yep.
And Memphis, Arkansas is a huge part of that conversation, but right there in that noon window or 11 a.m. window central, you know, obviously Texas Tech and Utah right there with them.
Something I've been thinking about when it comes to Texas Tech, because it's been reported between football and basketball, they've spent $50 million on their rosters. It's got to be brutal week to week to sit back as a big donor, Cody Campbell, or that fan base who has these high expectations, and just hope for return on investment from all you brought in the portal, right? Because you spent more money than anybody in your conference, more money than 99.9% of teams in FBS football. It's got to be tough week after week to just hope you get a return on that investment.
Well, yeah, and this is such a clash of styles. It's the old school, long-tenured Kyle Whittingham, physical Big 12, Utah is sort of on an island. They were in the Pac-12, and they were more physical than everybody in the Pac-12. Now they're in the Big 12. You know, can they be that same sort of physical brand. It didn't work for him last year, but you know, they got a chance to sort of put that league on notice with their, I mean, they've been playing the same way for two decades, but then you have this Texas Tech team that's just a bunch of hired hands, a bunch of,
right.
You know, there's not a lot of continuity there, but there is talent. So it's, I mean, it's a fun game from that standpoint too, because you kind of have the old guard of college football versus the new way of doing things. And, you know, I mean, maybe I'm naive, but you know, I sort of tend to favor Utah there. Like, I don't know that we're to a point yet in college football where you can just put a bunch of hired hands together,
yep,
and go out and win a title. And like, people want to look at Ohio State and be like, well, yeah, but you know, they just went out and poached Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss and Will Howard from Kansas State, and they won a national title last year. And that's not wrong, but you go up and down that Ohio State roster, the reason they won the national title is because they had a bunch of draft-eligible guys that chose to come back.
Yep.
And they actually ranked near the top of the country last season in returning production. So, yeah, I mean, of course you have to complement your roster with the transfer portal and get a couple of stud transfers. But, I mean, Texas Tech went out and overhauled and basically – you know, staked their identity for this season on transfer portal guys. What does that look like when you're up against a really physical challenge in week one, week four, week one of your conference slate? So, you know, I mean, I have my doubts over whether or not that recipe, no matter how much money you sink into it, whether you're going to get an immediate return on it.
How do you feel about Auburn, Oklahoma? Because I look at this matchup, Auburn visiting Oklahoma, John Mateer, I feel pretty good about what he's going to give you week after week. He's a playmaker, and he doesn't seem to be shaken or lose confidence even if he makes mistakes. But I think all eyes, to be honest, not just because of the revenge spot, but because we want to see what he can do against this level of competition, all eyes should be on Jackson Arnold, right? The transfer from Oklahoma that went to Auburn. He's played really well through the early going. Auburn's ranked 22. They're undefeated. He's used his legs really well. But I feel like this week is a week where he's going to have to use his arm. But it does feel like Jackson Arnold is sort of the key to how that game's going to go.
Yeah, he is. I mean, that's the storyline. Can this kid go into the place that basically gave up on him and deal with that? And I agree. I think Oklahoma and that defense is going to do everything possible to say, hey, Jackson Arnold, beat us with your arm. We dare you. And then it comes down to, like, you look at that Auburn receiver room. I mean, they've got two of the better receivers in the conference with Eric Singleton, who they bought from Georgia Tech, and then Cam Coleman, who, you know, a lot of people from a talent perspective would put right up there with your Ryan Williams, your Jeremiah Smith, in terms of stud sophomore receivers who have a lot of long-term NFL potential. Those guys have not been otherworldly, though, so far this season. Jackson Arnold's been doing most of his damage on the ground and with his legs. And, you know, I mean, that Oklahoma defense, I think, is pretty nasty. I mean, you know, Bryce Underwood has looked good against teams not named Oklahoma. But when he played Oklahoma, Brent Venables, I mean, basically put him in jail. So can Brent Venables do that to Jackson Arnold? I would venture to say, yeah, he probably can, because he knows him pretty well after coaching him for two seasons. So, I lean kind of aggressively in the Oklahoma direction here, especially considering, you know, the game is at OU.
Yeah, so we got the announcement today from Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss that Trinidad Chambliss is expected to make his second straight start for Ole Miss against Tulane this weekend. They're 12-point favorites, something like that. Tulane's been very good. They've beaten two Power Conference opponents. Now, they haven't played a Power Conference opponent that is like Ole Miss, but Trinidad Chambliss getting a second start. I know this is being framed as Austin Simmons is still rehabbing from injury, but Trinidad Chambliss, if he has a good game, which I really kind of expect him to have against Tulane, how concerned should Austin Simmons be about not starting another game this year? Just truthfully.
Yeah, it's a huge concern if I'm Austin Simmons. It's a classic example of Lane Kiffin having a great problem on his hands. Because he believes in Austin Simmons, and he has good reason to believe in Austin Simmons. I think Austin Simmons is a really good player. I mean, the second and third quarters that he played against Kentucky in his first SEC start a couple weeks back were really good. But you got a veteran here in Trinidad Chambliss, a national title-winning quarterback, albeit at the Division II level. But I mean, I think we learned everything we need to know about the guy last week. Now, I mean, the question is, when you get into SEC play, you know, is Trinidad Chambliss going to be able to make the plays with his arm that get you where you want to go. I mean, I think Austin Simmons has a ton of arm talent.
Right.
And I think some of the downfield stuff that they probably want to run is going to be harder to pull off with Trinidad Chambliss versus if you have Austin Simmons in there, who is a former stud pitcher who had a fastball velo of 95, but a guy who can also make all the throws and put some air underneath the football and throw guys open, and he has good touch. And, you know, I mean, he's just a really good thrower. They're two different quarterbacks, but he's making the right decision this week without a doubt, because if you have a gimpy Austin Simmons, then you're absolutely one dimensional. But I think that going into next week, there's a lot of huge storylines nationally next week. If Trinidad Chambliss has another good game against Tulane tomorrow, which I expect he will, then the story that we're talking about next week is, all right, Ole Miss is about to host a top five ranked LSU team, game with SEC title, national implications. You know, what's Lane Kiffin going to do? I mean, it's been a huge story in Oxford this week, but it becomes a huge story, you know, in the SEC and beyond next week.
All right, before I let you roll, I just need your opinion on the Wembley Stadium game that has been announced. They will host their first college football game in London at Wembley Stadium next season, September 19, 2026. Arizona State and Kansas. Listen, I understand, like, the international outreach in the National Football League. It's the best of the best, right? You're seeing the best possible players play best possible style of football, right? But it feels like we're not so picky when it comes to college football and sending teams over there. Arizona State and Kansas, that leaves a lot to be desired. I just, what do you think about the international outreach we've seen in sort of recent years from the college football ranks?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of pointless. what do you really expect to gain on this? Like, what's your return on investment? You really expect to get a bunch of season ticket sales from Europe? Do you really expect a bunch of European fans to start signing up for TV packages that include college football? It doesn't really make sense. Like, I get it. Like,
and if you want that, you would send over, I mean, and obviously these teams would have to agree to it, but you'd send over Alabama, you'd send over Georgia, you'd send over Notre Dame every year. You'd do that instead of sending over Arizona State and Kansas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, I would send, if I were trying to grow college football in Europe, I would send Notre Dame to go play in Ireland, the Fighting Irish.
Yes.
Maybe, you know, that kind of makes sense. Maybe go and play against an Ohio State.
Yes.
But I mean, I don't know why they would agree to that. I mean, just ask Kansas
sure.
State what the aftermath of playing in Europe is like. Go
right.
Ask Florida State. Go ask Florida State what happened to them last year after they went over and took a week zero loss playing in Europe. It wasn't pretty, and Kansas State's dealing with the exact same thing right now. So I don't really feel like it's a great investment, and then it takes another game away from your fans and their season ticket package.
And I heard Josh Pate make this point. I want to give him credit for it. I'm sure people know Josh Pate, really good college football analyst. But, like, outside of the Ohio States and Notre Dames, as we've just mentioned, when you get into the Arizona State, Kansas territory, I feel like a lot of the lore of college football comes from being on campus and playing games. And, like, taking them overseas, you're not really getting the experience of what those particular schools have to offer college football. You get what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't really give the European mind or European viewer who watches college football, it doesn't give them a real good look at what we do over here when it comes to day-to-day college football, weekend-to-weekend college football.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're not international brands. And you think about, like, what makes European soccer special? Like, yeah, sure, like Manchester United, Real Madrid, like whatever, like international brands, like, you know, they can come into the States and play a captivating game or whatever. But part of the fabric of European soccer is these Italian Serie A teams in small towns, kind of like college towns, where
right.
It's the community and the surrounding communities that rally around the team that might be in a city of 40,000. And but if Venezia and Salerno came and played an exhibition soccer match in Cincinnati, you couldn't replicate that,
right?
You know,
we don't know. We have no idea how to feel.
Right. You're not going to have 15,000 people with their scarves and their songs. Like, it's just going to be two random soccer teams playing a game that you know, no. Yeah, right. Like, you can't replicate what makes that special when you play that game in Venice. You know, so that's what college football is doing here. It's trying to replicate something that, you know, it can't be replicated overseas. So I don't know. Like, it just doesn't, I don't really get what there is to gain from it. And given the track record of some of the losing teams in these games in recent years, I'd stay away. I would stay away.
Juice ain't worth the squeeze for sure. But David, I appreciate it, man. Enjoy the ball over the weekend and enjoy your weekend in general.
Yeah, man, you too.
Yes, sir. He is David Cobb, college basketball, college football writer at CBS Sports, also role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN, Monday, Wednesday, Friday with me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Gabe Kuhn Show, and then Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. Hear that music, you know it's money time, because Lee Sterling is joining the show on a Friday, the number one handicapper for football, Major League Baseball, basketball, UFC, and NHL, Locked On Bets co-host, and also co-host of Picking the Locks at Paramount Sports on X. Lee, how's it going?
I'm good. Yeah, added another show. So, leaving the office about 8:30 at night on Friday nights. We're here till after 11 o'clock. So,
and you join, let's see if I have this number right. I think you told us last, like, 53 shows between Thursday and Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you're a working man. Crazy. You gotta love it. Before we get into the games, your card this week, I let my listeners know where to find you.
Yep. Just go to the website, ParamountSports.com. This is probably the most anticipated promotion I have all year. I probably get more emails, texts, and calls about this one. It's the Baker's Dozen. We've talked about it many times. Comes around once or twice a year. It's 13 games combined Saturday and Sunday, and it's just $97, not $297 or $197, just $97. And we've had some 12-1, 11-2, and 10-3 records on this. So you've never been with us before. Now's the perfect time to give us a shot. And hopefully we win for you, and then you come back for more.
Yeah, and here's the good news in regards to the Gabe Kuhn Show and the picks you give out here. You were 4-1 last week. 4-1 last week right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. So let's go ahead and get into it. The no longer plucky, cute Vanderbilt Commodores are going to be playing Georgia State. And I will say this, and it's after Vandy beat South Carolina, number 11 team in the country, 31-7. It was an absolute butt-whooping. I will say this, though. Georgia State has showed up on the wrong end of a lot of picks so far this year in this particular segment. How do you feel about this? Vanderbilt, 27-point favorites.
So a lot of people are going to take Vanderbilt here. Why? Revenge. They lost last year, believe it or not, at Georgia State. Just didn't play well at all looking ahead. And so people think, oh, revenge. But I don't know if Vandy is too used to or prepared to handle this type of big, we're talking about a huge, huge favorite here. So I think that's going to be a problem for him. We know Georgia State has a new quarterback. He was snatched after the first week after they realized they didn't have a quarterback. Had a couple decent running backs, but they needed a quarterback, so they got him out of the transfer portal. He had started games, as you know, at couple different places, LSU, also Auburn, had a great career, great 1 year at Texas State, and for some reason left there. Who knows? Maybe someone got in his ear, but I think they're going to be able to move the ball enough here, and I think Vandy will be a little distracted. I'm going to take the points here and hold my nose. I have Vandy winning 41-21. Line's almost four touchdowns. I think it's too much.
All right, now Mizzou and South Carolina. A sneaky good SEC matchup will be on ESPN at 6 o'clock. Mizzou, this number, Lee, I don't know what it is now. It's been all over the place. But it opened at 11-point favorites for Mizzou at home. South Carolina's had some issues with Lenore Sellers, but the most recent update is he's good to go for the game against Mizzou. Right. I don't know how well he'll play because of that. They're seeing if he'll have a setback before the game. But Mizzou, 11-point favorites, how do you see it?
I think their offense is really good. I think if you asked the Penn State coaching staff what they would do, would they stick with Jewelar or would they go with Bo Prabilla? I think they'd go with Prabilla, if you ask them honestly, behind closed doors. So I think the kid is that good. I'm not saying he's a great prospect for the NFL, but kid's a really good college quarterback. I just think that, you know, they also end up getting a really good running back, a kid that was at Louisiana Monroe. No one was talking about
Ahmad Hardy. Leads the SEC. I think he leads the country, actually, in rushing yards.
He's either one or two. And what's interesting, I heard the story. His coaches had to beg schools to take a look at him and beg a school to offer him. And I think he's a true sophomore, so he's going to be there another year. I think it's too much. Even South Carolina with Sellers is averaging 14.5 points a game. I like Missouri. They keep rolling here, 34-16.
Oklahoma-Auburn. I'm going to be paying very close attention to this. And on the Oklahoma's at home, 6.5 point favorites. I think it's gotten bet down to 3.5 at some point this week. But I don't know what the number is now. We'll operate off 6.5. But this is the potential revenge spot for Jackson Arnold. My only question to him, though, is are you going to be able to beat this Oklahoma defense using your arm? Will he be able to do that, or do you think Oklahoma is going to handle business?
I think they're going to handle business because their head coach, Brett Venables, he knows him inside and out. He was his head coach. He knows, you know, when I played, I knew my head coach. He knew my weaknesses. So you can game plan around that, and they're going to throw some tough stuff at him. If it was at Auburn, maybe he has a chance, but it's going to be on the road. It's at Norman. And then on top of that, you know, most of the plays, go back and look at what happened in that game where Auburn beat Baylor. Most of their best plays were on broken plays. So I think that's going to be a real problem for them here. And John Mateer, if I had a vote, he'd get my vote right now for the Heisman. I like Oklahoma, 34-24.
All right, now let's get to these American Conference versus SEC matchups. We'll start with what we're going to see coming up tomorrow. I will be in the building. Arkansas -7, 7.5 in some places. You'll give a score prediction, so we'll see if that half point matters at all. But Memphis comes into this game 3-0. Offensively, they've ran the ball well, throwing the ball. I don't know if they've showed all that much. But I tell you what, I've been saying this every single day this week. My biggest holdup with Memphis winning this game is that quarterback on the other side, Taylen Green. He's a hell of a ball player.
He is really good. And the only thing, though, is they've played with the same intensity they played last week. I mean, 112 yards. I mean, the week before, Troy, they looked great in the first half. So, you know, coming into the year in the first game, we didn't think much of Troy's offense, but they were looking pretty good the week before. So they totally shut him down, knocked the starting quarterback out. I think this is a great spot for them. You know, they also got a little chip on their shoulder. You know, they were turned down. They offered $200 million to the SEC to take their money. We don't want anything for 5 years. Just let us in. So I think they have something to prove, and Arkansas might have a little bit of a hangover from last week, and their defensive backs aren't great either. Not calling for an upset, but close. 34-30. I like the points in Memphis.
You had me going there for a second, Lee. You had me going, but 34-30, Arkansas is the prediction from Lee Sterling at Paramount Sports. Final thing, Ole Miss, -11.5 versus Tulane. It looks like Trinidad Chambliss starting his second straight game. He looked really good against Arkansas.
Doesn't make any difference. I mean, the kid from Ferris State's doing the job. Lane Kiffin can coach quarterbacks. And, I mean, down the road, they're going to have some really tough games. Their offensive line's going to have to start coming together. Defensive backs are going to have to play better. defensive line isn't even as good as last year, but I still think they're a cut above here. This is the toughest game to handicap of them all, of the five. I'll have it take a light lean here to Ole Miss 42-28. They win by 14.
All right, now Tennessee and UAB is your game of the week, and it's rare where your game of the week is a 40-point spread, so I would imagine you have a pretty strong opinion on it.
Yep.
Where can my listeners go get that game and more of you, Lee?
Yep, first five callers, we'll give it to them for free. 800-400-9741. First five callers, I've got something strong on Tennessee UAB. 800-400-9741. And like I said, if you want to get on that Baker's Dozen, 13 games, only $97. Do it right now. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
You are the man, Lee. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy the ball.
Thanks so much. See ya.
Yes, sir. He is Lee Sterling, number one handicapper for football, Major League Baseball, basketball, UFC, and NHL. You can check out multiple podcasts. He's got one with the Locked On Network. He's a co-host on Locked On Bets. And now you can go check out, I believe he has it posted at ParamountSports.com, Picking the Locks. That's his other podcast where he just gives out pick after pick and talks the games with his co-host. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. We'll wrap up hour number two. Reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, in college football, it was announced yesterday that a game will be hosted by Wembley Stadium in London. The game, Arizona State and Kansas. They will play in the inaugural Union Jack Classic on September 19th, 2026. Again, Wembley Stadium in London. All right. Now, I understand international outreach. More money is on the table when you're able to get international fans. More TV contracts are on the table when you're able to get international fans. The NFL's international outreach is well done. Do I think they go to too many places? Sure. But when it comes to college football, I think they have missed the mark very heavily with their international outreach. And the reason I say that is they're not giving the European fans a real look at what college football is. If you really want to get fans over there to engage, you're going to have to send your best teams. Ohio State, Notre Dame, Georgia, Alabama, the big names that may have some international flavor that people may know about, that people may have heard about over there once in a while. But Kansas and Arizona State, that just does not make a whole lot of sense. There's not a lot of Big 12 fans over in London. I can tell you that right now, especially Big 12 football fans. And I think largely, and I talked about this with David Cobb, Connor, I think largely the lore behind these types of schools is the campus setting, the traditions they have, the culture that's on campus, the students getting involved. I think that's where you find the essence of college football when it comes to schools like Kansas and Arizona State. And sending them over to London to play, those fans are not going to feel that. They're not going to experience that. So I just feel like this is an effort that really won't accomplish anything. And I don't know if the Ireland game has accomplished anything with who they've been sending over there. I think if you're going to do this, you have to send your biggest brands. And they're not doing that right now because I don't think the biggest brands want to take that trip over there and then come back and deal with all the jet lag and all the travel and money that it takes to go over there.
So what teams would you suggest they use for international play?
Obviously Notre Dame in Ireland. The Fighting Irish that, should be playing
feels,
in Ireland.
That feels like
if
a,
you're
like
going to do that game every
yeah,
year.
Free space.
London, I mean, like, if we're trying
Listen,
to...
Stay with me. Send Ole Miss to Oxford. Oxford to Oxford.
It's a different Oxford altogether.
It is, God. But still.
I would send your biggest brands. It's as simple as that. Ohio State, Michigan. Oregon could go over there for the flair.
Oregon
Alabama,
would make sense because of Nike.
Alabama, Georgia. Send your biggest brands if that's what we're going to do because at least you have the best talent and the best you have to offer in front of your European fans that you want to bring in. But sending over a Kansas team with a new quarterback not named Jalen Daniels, sending over an Arizona State team that right now is not looking like what they were cracked up to be, and likely Sam Levitt out the door. and a new quarterback with no name recognition, even to fans back in America. That just does not seem like a good plan that's going to accomplish the goal that you have set out, which is to bring in the European audience, which is to bring in an international audience. I just think it's a one-off that everybody there is going to forget about as soon as the game is over. As soon as the clock hits zero, no one's going to remember it.
I think it would be a better game, like you said, if those were the two teams and they were being sent this season. I think it would like make Maybe. A little bit more sense because, you know, you have Arizona State coming off of a huge season. They've got some momentum behind them. I think that Kansas has a very fun quarterback right now who can bring some eyeballs and some excitement. We just don't know what these teams are going to look like by the time that game happens because we are in the NIL era and transfer portal era. So it's hard to, I guess, market these teams right now because the players that you would market may not be there next year.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah,
I like the idea though. I think it's a cool place.
I'm fine with international outreach. I just think you need to think about these things and how you can accomplish the goal of bringing in more fans from over the pond before you just pick two random teams from the Big 12 to play a Big 12 matchup over there. I just don't think that accomplishes the goal that you had in mind. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. Hour number three is on the way. And leading us off, we'll talk Arkansas, the Arkansas side of things in this Arkansas-Memphis matchup with John Neighbors. He owns Inside Arkansas. He's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.